This message is about two sticks and two houses and a bunch of dry bones. So if you want to turn to that chapter in your Bible, it's Ezekiel 37. And we've got a lot of scripture that we're going to have to go through, but we'll get through it.
Where did you say that?
Ezekiel 37. How many of you like Bible prophecy? Bible prophecy is really cool. It can get in a lot of arguments because no one really knows what this means except God until it comes to the time where God wants to tell us what it means. And that's a cool thing about prophecy, because in hindsight, it makes things just more awesome. But we'll start in chapter 37, and we're going to read through the whole chapter of Ezekiel 37. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley or a plain, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. Not just dry, but very dry. Now, that can mean a lot of things in prophecy, but one thing's clear, they were dead, and dead for quite a while, a long time. They were completely dried out. And God said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Now, he really avoided the question. It's just interesting to me the way that he goes about avoiding the question, "You know." Of course, he knows God can do anything, but he totally avoids this answering and puts it back on the person who asked the question. And then in 4, again he said to me, "Prophesy over the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now that's interesting too. Talk to dry bones. When there was only about 3 people here, it was like I was talking to nobody. I didn't even have dry bones to talk to. And hear the word of the Lord. Well, ears are not bones. It's really bizarre. And prophecy is also that way, oftentimes. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause a breath or a spirit to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, cover your skin, and I will put breath in you and you may come alive, that you will know that I'm the Lord. Now we can be a full body of people, not believers. But we can be a full body and not have the Spirit in us, and it will be as though we're dry bones. Because even when the flesh was on these dry bones, when they were covered, they appeared to be okay. They weren't. They still didn't have the Spirit. In 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. They're still dead. They're still dead without the Spirit. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath are the Spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So how do we get life? Through the breath of God, through Spirit. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, exceedingly great army. One thing that's interesting about this is that they're a great army of people, and they were before dead and dry, and the Spirit comes and they become a great army. They come together. And this seems really bizarre until you read on. In 11, and he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Cut off in this verse is divided. They were completely divided. They're dried up and their hope has perished. Without the Spirit of God in us, we have no hope. Their hope had perished. Therefore prophesy to them and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of them, come out of your graves, my people. Now look, these are dry bones, and he's putting the Spirit in them, and then he calls them my people. And I will bring you up, where? Into the land of Israel. Now, has this happened yet? No. Some people think that this was the Holocaust. But no, it wasn't. This is a prophecy about our time, about the latter days. Then you will know that I'm the Lord when I have opened your grave and cause you to come out of your graves, my people. Once again, my people. God is calling his people. And what's doing the work here? The Spirit. The Spirit. It's not some doctors putting these bones together. It's not man. It's the Spirit. And I will put my Spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land, the land of Israel. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and done it, declares the Lord. Obviously, when we go to the land of Israel, we go to New Jerusalem, we're going to know it's the Lord that brought us there. It's the Lord that woke us up, gave us his Spirit, and separated us. In Matthew 15:24, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus says to this woman, he says, he answered her and said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who did Jesus come back to get? Or who did Jesus come for? Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 10:5 says, the 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were commissioned to go and bring back Israel. Israel had been scattered, and Israel doesn't even know who Israel is. They're scattered among the nations. In Jeremiah, we're going to go to Jeremiah 30, 1 through 3, and I'll just read it for you. It's prophecy to Jeremiah. It says, "The Lord which came to Jeremiah from the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words which I have spoken to you in a book. For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel and Judah. The Lord says, I will also bring them back to the land that I gave to their forefathers, and they shall possess it." So you've got two people separate, two houses, Israel and Judah. And Israel is all of those tribes, the northern tribes, and they were scattered among the nations. And no one knows who they are except God. A lot of people try to say, "I'm Israel." A lot of churches, a lot of denominations. The ones I know for sure are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. They want to claim that they are Israel. They are the scattered Israel among the nations. But we're going to see what the characteristics are of Israel, and we'll know that it's probably not accurate, at least not yet. Verse 15. "The word of the Lord came again, saying, And you, son of man, take yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and the sons of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and the house of Israel, all the house of Israel, his companions." Okay? So this is interesting here because you have Judah, which is Judah and Benjamin, and then you have Israel. And remember, this is prophecy of what's to come in the future. This is exciting because this is what we're starting to see right now in the Hebrew Roots movement, in the whatever you want to call it, Messianic movement. Jews are starting to believe in Jesus. We are starting to see that we have forsaken God's commandments. A lot of the things that the Jews didn't forsake, but they forsook Jesus. Coming together of the two houses. In 17, "Then join them for yourself one to another into one stick, so that they may become one in your hand." This is referred to by many as the two-house teaching. The latter days, Jews and scattered Israel will come together. Okay, let's go to Romans 11. And 17. Remember, Paul here in his letter is speaking to the Romans, Gentiles, right? Gentiles. There may be some of the scattered Israel that were over there, but primarily Gentiles. Romans 11, 17. In speaking to the Gentiles, he says, he's talking about the olive tree and branches. It says, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive," the Gentiles are wild olive branches, "were grafted in among them and became a partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, if some of the branches are broken off, and the Gentiles were grafted in, then do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it's not you who supports the root, but the root supports you." Okay? Christians have become arrogant. we have become arrogant against our Hebrew roots. And more important, our Hebrew branches. And more importantly, this is when it talks about the root, this root has to be Jesus. Has to be. 19, but you will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is what I refer to as a verse that talks about replacement theology. You know that there are people out there who say that the church has replaced Israel. And all of these things, when it talks about Israel, that's talking about the church, they say. And they're right, but we don't say that we have replaced Israel. You don't say that. We have not replaced them. We are part of them. It's a different. You will say branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, but they were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Obviously, this is us. Okay? We stand by faith. Some of the branches were broken off because of their unbelief. They didn't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Him today, some of them. Do not be conceited, but fear. When a person's conceited, when they're puffed up, they don't think anybody can touch them. They think they're, immortal, unstoppable. Church kind of thinks that way today. But fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. Boy, church better watch out. Okay? If God's chosen people got broke off, He will break us off too. Most definitely. Behold the kindness and severity of God. To those who fail, severity. But to you, God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Now look, 23. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. Who's that talking about? The Jews. They can be grafted in to Jesus again. And they will. This ties right into Ezekiel. For God is able to graft them in again. Okay? So you got Jews and Christians, and they're both going to get grafted in if the Jews don't continue in their unbelief. But we have to recognize what it means to be attached to the root. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, so we came from a wild olive tree, and were grafted in contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are of the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So they've fallen away, but what he's saying, if I'm able to graft you in, of course I can graft the Jews back in. But you know what? The Jews are blinded right now. They are blinded to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. A warning here. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. To most people, they wouldn't know what in the world this is talking about. But Paul wants us to know what he's writing here. So that you may not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So, Israel is hardened until a point in time. I mean, not Israel, Judah. Jews are hardened until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. I don't know what it means for the fullness of Gentiles to come in. I don't know when that's going to be. But I do know this is saying that in the future, they're going to be reunited, and it's Jesus that's going to reunite them. And so all Israel will be saved. All Israel. Remember, Israel includes Judah. All Israel will be saved. The only way, one way to get saved, right? Jesus. You know any Jews? Talk to them. Show them this verse right here. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So we see that we're both grafted in. Jew and Gentile are grafted in as one. Let's go back to Ezekiel 37:17. It says, then join them for yourself, one to another, in one stick, that they may become one in your hand. When the sons of your people speak to you, saying, will you not declare to us what you mean by them? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and will make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. This is what we're looking forward to. There is no place for Semitism in a Christian. We are supposed to love Judah. We are supposed to provoke them to jealousy. Why? So they can be grafted back in. It is by our lifestyle, our example, that they will see that they need to accept Jesus. They will look at us and see. Now, if we're going off and acting all kind of crazy ways, what kind of example can we be for a Jew? Not a very good one. They'll say, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want no part of it. But there are going to be a people who are grafted in with Judah. That's going to happen. The sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. Every side. They couldn't have just went to the north. We know that they did go to the north, the 10 tribes, but then they had to go everywhere, to the four corners of the earth, because if they didn't, you can't gather them from every side. So yeah, we could very well be Israel. If we aren't, it doesn't matter, because when you're grafted in as Israel. So you are Israel, whether it be spiritual or physical, you're Israel. Look here in 22. I will make them one nation in the land. One nation, not two. We're definitely two or more. Where? On the mountains of Israel. And one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations and no longer divided into two kingdoms. This is going to happen. Whether it's in our lifetime or or our children's lifetime. This is going to happen. I don't know if you know the wars with the Muslims going to bring this about, but I tell you, we're going to go back to Israel. Let's go to John 11 and 47. John 11, 47. We'll see what Jesus says, or what they say he came to do. It says, therefore, that this is right before they're about to kill him. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council, and they were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will come to believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They were being pretty selfish here. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for that for you that one man die for a people, and that the whole nation not perish. Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he may gather together into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. That's the same thing. It's the same thing. He came together. Why is he, you know, referred to as a shepherd? I came for the lost sheep. Because he's going together. What does a shepherd do? He keeps the sheep together. Okay, back to Ezekiel 37:23. Now, how do we know that this hasn't happened yet? You know, the Jews think this has happened yet already. They think that in what's 1947, when everybody came to Israel, came back, it became a nation again. They think this prophecy was fulfilled, but it wasn't, because in 23, what does it say? It says they will no longer defile themselves with their idols, or with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and they will be their, I will be their God. This hadn't happened yet, because we are not one, and we still have idolatry all in us, in the Christian church. There is idolatry everywhere. We're definitely messing with detestable things. But there's going to come a day when he's going to bring us back together. And this is why we have to love our brothers, our Jewish brothers. We're going to have to love them so that they will come into the true vine, the true olive tree. And look, when we get brought back to Jerusalem, what's going to happen? It says, my servant David will be king over them. And when it's talking about my servant David, it's talking about Jesus here. This is Jesus the David, not David the, you know, the king that was there. And they will all have one shepherd. Once again, he's the shepherd. And they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. Whoa, goodness gracious. Christian church is not about keeping ordinances and statutes. But they will be. And I don't think Judah can be on the same tree with them if they don't. You know? And we can't be on the same tree with them if they don't accept Jesus. And they will live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, and their sons' sons forever. Forever is a long time. But we're going there. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. Once again, Jesus. And look in 26. Hey, did you know there's a new covenant? If there's an old covenant and new covenant, there's going to be a new covenant. And the new covenant's going to be the old covenant. The old covenant's going to be the old covenant. 26. I will make what? A covenant of peace with them. Now that's one reason that the Jewish people claim that Jesus is not the Messiah. Because if he did, we'd have the covenant of peace. Well, we're going to. It just takes a while. There's definitely not a covenant of peace over there right now. But this is a new covenant. And it will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. And my dwelling place will also be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So when we get to this new Jerusalem, we're going to be with Jesus. And the nations will know that I'm the Lord who sanctifies Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Okay. So what we have here is the reunification of Israel, the whole house, and Judah. And we will come together in New Jerusalem, and there will be peace, and we'll all keep the commandments, and it will be forever. Jesus will be with us forever. Now, a lot of people don't like that teaching. They don't believe in this two-house teaching. They don't want to be part of the keeping of commandments. They want to do whatever they want. But if you're going to be grafted in to the true tree, the true olive tree, then you're going to have to. And unless you keep God's commandments, you will not be able to get across to a Jew. I mean, there's no way to make that connection. I tried to make one with a guy at work who's a Jew. And I said, I don't eat pork. You know, I keep the Old Testament commandment, and he's like, well, I eat it. Okay. There goes that one. But it is not too late to connect with our Jewish brethren, and it is not too late for the Christian people to come back to God, put down their idols and detestable things.